Here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our two Gregs here in studio, Greg McKinley and Greg McHenry, Riley County Commissioner and Riley County Appraiser, joining us here in studio this morning. We've been talking about the new valuations going out here for houses on the market, and really, this is something you do every year at this time. How long does this process take you, would you say?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we have what I call an appraisal season that starts as soon as we certify the values to the clerk's office. So around May 1st, our field people start going to the field and verifying property characteristics for at least 1/6 of our properties every year. That's our mandate. Plus, we go to the field anytime there's a change in ownership, building permit, demo permit, et cetera. So they keep very busy doing that until somewhere in November when we start picking up the new construction to determine its status at the end of the year. Whatever is there January 1st is what we value. So if a home is 50% complete at that point in time, we're going to value it that way. And at the same time, Alan from my office and Steve, who works on the commercial side, are busy doing, alongside with myself, the studies and the analysis. So we're looking at our market, and we're figuring out what depreciation rates are, what land values are based on sales, what our comparable sales look like. We use the same approaches to value that a private fee appraiser would use. It's just that we have to value every property once a year, and that's really the only difference. And we use computer modeling kind of as a calculator to be able to accommodate 26,000 parcels. But that cycle carries us into the end of the year, and then we start choosing values for that upcoming year. We mail the notices, hold the informal appeals, and start all over. So I grew up on a farm and ranch, and I like to equate this period of time as the beginning of harvest for us. You know, we're kind of at closing in on the end of an appraisal cycle, and that starts with mailing those notices.
So I might ask you, Greg, what do you guys use the data from the commission standpoint, from what Greg collects here? How do you guys take that and use it for your?
They come up with the total value for the county, which is used then for the budget, because we start budgeting. The new budget year starts about in March when we start coming up with next year's budget. And by looking at that, we know what the value is of, you know, what it is. So we can see what our values, what the mill levy will be based on those values.
Gotcha. All right. And that process is probably not too far from happening here.
Right. Like I say, yeah, next month we'll start, the departments will start coming to us with their budget proposals for next year. And that runs through July or August, that we're working on that, in addition to everything else, but we kind of work on that through the whole time.
Well, and I know the one thing, keeping the mill levy low, that's kind of the goal here.
Sure.
And there's so many avenues that kind of affect that here. And I know another thing that kind of affects that is dark store theory. And I was hoping maybe we could get an update on that, if you have some information on that.
Sure. We have one case, a 2018 value for Home Depot that is now at the Court of Appeals. And Johnson County has, it's a bundle of all their Walmarts going to the Supreme Court. Those two cases will probably have a great impact on how dark store is applied or not applied in Kansas going forward. You know, our view is, and I think it's a valid argument, that by applying that what they call hypothetical leased fee approach, we're creating a class of property owners or properties that are not held to the market value standard that is in our statutes and in our Constitution. And so we view that this is unconstitutional. They're getting a property tax break that a competing smaller business does not get. And of course, that's a shift to of those tax burdens to all the other property owners, homeowners, small business, farm and ranch, et cetera. But those two cases will have a great bearing on what happens going forward. Ours probably won't be held until maybe midsummer or early fall. I believe Johnson County's hoping that theirs would be kind of the same time frame. It's all depending on the court's scheduling.
We have somebody who's got a comment or a concern, so we're going to go to the phone lines. Nope, never mind. They hung up. Well, that's interesting. This has been something we've been watching here for quite a while in the news department is these dark store theory cases. What do we have, about 18? Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. It's I call it an infection. you know, there are a few folks, tax reps, who make their money based on their ability to win or get any kind of reduction at any appeal level. So they're paid on commission. And if they win a case, 50% of whatever the tax difference would be is their paycheck. So there's a lot at stake for them. And I try to remind people there's nothing at stake for a county appraiser or even county commissioner. What is at stake is the fairness and equity of the property tax system here in Raleigh County and beyond.
All right, we'll go back to the phone lines now. We have our caller back. So go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Yes, this is Steve, Pottawatomie County taxpayer. And recently, the Pottawatomie County Commission approved applying for a grant for an engineering study of the Marlette Bridge. And I was wondering what Commissioner McKinley's thoughts were on a possible Marlette Bridge. Thank you.
I don't see the value in it. And the state has said before they would rather see 24 improved even to six lanes rather than trying to add the roads and everything to move up to a Marlette Bridge. It would also cause problems in Manhattan. It would be dumping a large number of people into the Northview area where there'd be a lot of road improvements needed in Manhattan for a place for all those people to come to. I've not been in favor of it.
All right. There's an ongoing issue here. Yeah. I know there's people that are concerned with that, and it's always a hot topic, especially for Pott County folks, but that's just the consistent message from Riley County has been there's just not a lot of benefits there.
Right. I don't see the benefits to us.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Steve. He goes to a lot of the Pottawatomie County Commission meetings. He's one of their avid watchdogs, I like to call him. So getting back to the topic we were discussing, dark store theory, you know, it's interesting. Anytime we post stories about these on our social media pages, I feel like a lot of folks don't quite understand the theory behind what's going on here. Because you can be pro-business and think, well, hey, the businesses are just kind of doing what's best for their bottom line here. And I think that's true. But it seems like ultimately it's the taxpayers that carry much of the burden.
It is. Yeah, the simple explanation of it all is that their theory is that a Home Depot or a Target or Menards or something would only sell at the end of its economic life, 40 years down the road as vacant, as needing to be redeveloped. We know that's not true. We've hired a fee appraiser who out of the Kansas City area who provides us with lists of sales of properties that are similar to ours. So they do sell, and I think anybody would realize driving by one of our big boxes that they are more valuable than they would be at the end of their life. And when I say the end of their life, what typically happens is, like we saw in Topeka years ago, where White Lakes Mall used to be, that was the hot retail area at one point. It moved westward, and new stores and new retail corridors were built. So the White Lakes area became kind of a dark store area. But that, we don't have that in play here in Manhattan. Fort Riley Boulevard corridor is very, very high traffic, very active in terms of retail sales counts. Same way with Tuttle Creek Boulevard, the downtown area. So our argument is always that you're not comparing apples to apples. I think that I know that's true, but we need to make sure we convince the courts at the higher level that that's the case and that it isn't fair and equitable. That's at the bottom line. That's what Kansas property tax system is all about. We don't set the amount of property taxes, but we're here to make sure that the system is fair and equitable by holding everyone to that market value standard.
And as I understand, the Board of Tax Appeals, they're starting to work through cases a little bit more than they were here a couple of years ago. They have three members now?
They do have three members now. One is a member, a holdover, someone who had been on it before. But they are knocking out some of those cases that have been backlogged for quite a while. Most with those 18 that you spoke about, we still don't even have a date to go to trial yet. Mm. And those are 2020 cases and a few 21 cases.
And just hanging out there like a fruit.
So. They are, yeah. And the problem with that is it becomes a tactic for the tax reps. You know, they like to stall or prolong the process because if they get a reduction in value, the county also pays interest on that tax refund. I think it's an 8% interest rate. So it's very, very expensive for the county, and that kind of puts leverage on the county to decide whether they ought to settle or drop the case somehow. We've gotten very, very good support from our commissioners. I think they feel very strongly that everything needs to be fair and equitable, that this dark store approach is wrong. So they've been involved, with litigation going forward and also with legislation. They've met with legislators and talked about potential remedies legislatively.
Yeah, we've met with them. We've proposed some amendments to the state constitution better defining what the value is, not, to eliminate these empty building. One of the other things that I'd heard other people say is the problem is we were valuing Home Depot for all of their inventory, not just the building, but that's not true. The value is just on the building, not on the inventory. Like I say, for any of them, for Home Depot, Target, any of those, that the reason they're a high value is because of all their inventory, and that doesn't enter into the valuation.
Hmm. I appreciate you saying that because I know I've heard that comment a few times.
Yeah, I have too, and I've tried to clarify it with people.
Okay. Well, 9:33 coming up on here on News Radio KMAN. We'll continue in focus in a moment right after this.